Good morning. Today's daf in the Dharma is Ayin. We are on the bottom of Samach Tes Amud Beis. We're starting with the words by Rabba, three lines from the bottom. Gemara continuing its discussion regarding Hafara. So here in the 10th parak, we were introduced to Hafara. The Torah introduces us to Hafara. So as already pointed out a couple of times, so the idea of Hafara is Pesukim in the Torah. Most in the Dharim are Parech Bavir, floating in the air. Meaning, most of the halachas that we learned in this Masechta, I'd say the first 9 prakim, approximately, of the Masechta, dealt with halachas that are halacha Moshe Mitzinai, or just simply part of a Mesorah. And so as a result of that, you're not going to find Pesukim, right? I don't know how many Pesukim we quoted in the first 9 prakim of the... We quote a lot of Pesukim, don't get me wrong. But in other words, generating halachas, basic halachas regarding Nedarim coming from Pesukim. Okay, so there's not much to talk about because let's say for example Chacham being Matir that's not coming from the Torah, that's Tzalach L'Moshe Mitzinai. We have a drasha. There's a drasha that extracts it from the Pesukim, but in other words, the Pesukim are not Beferish. What are the Pesukim Beferish about? Hafara. So in the beginning of Parshas Matos, so the Gemara has a in the beginning of Parshas Matos, the Torah has a parsha dedicated to the topic of Hafara. And that means to say that if a woman is under a jurisdiction and she makes a neder, so whoever is the owner of that, let's call it the owner of the woman, but it's not the owner of the woman. It's not the best way to say it, but whoever owns the rights to her, that's a better way to say it, so will have the ability to be mefer. So that means to say that if she's a katana or she's an aron, she lives with her father could be mefer nedarim. If she's fully married, the husband can be mefer nedarim. So where does that parak start with? We started the parak just a short couple of days ago. So the parak started with where it's a joint ownership. Where do you find a joint ownership? The answer is very simple. And that's Nara Marasa. Nara Marasa is where you have joint ownership. Nara, so she's still under the auspices of her father. Mu'urasa, a husband now is introduced. But it's Erusin. Erusin is the first stage of marriage. So Erusin being the first stage of marriage does not totally remove her from the father's rights and the father's domain. So right now she's under two domains. As a result of that, what we learned in the beginning of this parak, of the 10th parak, is that when she's under these two domains, when she's an Ara Murasa, so then you need Hafara of both. Okay, in other words, there is now a partnership over her Nedarim, and you need both partners to be voting, either in the direction of Kiyam or in the direction of Hafara, and then and only then is the Nedar going to either be Mikuyam or Mufar, depending on whichever way the vote's going to go. And on a split decision, right, we just talked about this, on a split decision, so obviously we're going nowhere. Meaning you need a agreement amongst both partners, either in the direction of Hafara or in the direction of Kiyum. With that stated, the Gemara discussed a number of things, a lot of lumdus in the Gemara itself, because this is ripe for lumdus. Meaning exactly how does the partnership work, exactly how do we look at the neder vis-a-vis each of the partners individually? Are we viewing each partner as a 50% shareholder of her neder? Or no? Or do we say that each one of them is 100% owners of the neder? It just requires the combination punch of both of the partners. So numerous questions that were posed by the Gemara. And then yesterday we spent a lot of time with questions asked by Rabba. Yesterday we were challenged with Girsa. It could be Rava, could be Rabba, could go one of either way. Regardless, a number of questions that were posed by Rabba, specifically regarding the interplay of Hafara and Kiyum. All right, let's say you want both to occur. Now, obviously, it's binary. It's either or. You can't have both. But let's say you want both. What do you say under those circumstances? Good. So that was yesterday's discussion. Okay, more questions by Rabba. So the first half of today's daf, we're going to wrap up Rabba. Rabba is going to ask a series of additional questions. That's first part of today's daf, and then the Mishnah. Mishnah 9 Amud Aleph, taking us to the end of today's daf, is going to compare and contrast the father versus the husband in terms of who's got, quote-unquote, more rights. Who's got better rights? Or whatever. When we get to the Mishnah, we'll do it better. But basically, who's the senior partner and who's the junior partner in this partnership? Okay, but that's coming up later. Okay, so by Rabba, so the Gemara starts off now with the following question, Samach Tes Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. So by Rabba, so Kim Lecha Hayomahu. So let's say the husband makes the following statement. And when I say the husband, again, we're talking about Nara Marasa, so it could be the father, it could be the husband, it doesn't really matter. But let's say the following statement was made, and that is that I'm going to be mekayem your neder today. Now, we all know, from the point of hearing the neder, you are now have 24 hours to submit a vote of either kiyum or hafara. After 24 hours is gone, so that's a default kiyum of the neder. Good. That we all know. So you are, the husband now is reacting to the neder, and he says, I'm going to be mekayim the neder today. Okay. Now, implied, huh? Yeah, yes. In other words, to Phil's point, just to be clear, right? In other words, you need both. Right now, the Gemara is not focusing on the fact that you need both. We know that already. We need both. Right now, we're just looking at the statement that's being made and the implication that comes out of the statement. But yes, in other words, in the case of Nara Marasa, you need both. Good. So the question is as follows. You say, I'm going to be Mekayim the Neder today. That's your statement. Now, implicit in that statement is, that's good for today. Tomorrow, not interested. But you didn't say that. That's just simply an implication of your statement. So the Gemara now wants to know. So, Kim lachem hayom ma'u mi'amrin and kamanda amar la umofer lacha lamacha. So do we now, are we hearing the implied statement, which is, tomorrow I'm going to be mefer. Odilma halo amar la. Or on the alternatively, he didn't say it, and it's just an implied statement. Okay. Which, of course, then brings us to the next question. Wait 1 second. Even if he said it, is that going to be significant? Meaning, let's say he actually says the words, I'm mekayim your neder today, and I'm going to be mefer tomorrow. Now, remember, tomorrow it's too late. In other words, you only have a one-day window in order to register a vote. So even if you were to say right now, I'm going to be mefer your neder tomorrow, does that have significance? Next question of the Gemara. Imtim Salomar. And by the way, the Ron points out over here, meaning even though we have the Imtim Salomar, which usually means if we assume this, then let's move on to the next question. The Ron points out, we're just throwing everything out there on the table. And even though the Gemara uses language of Imtim Salomar, over here, Lav Dafka. In other words, we're throwing everything out there on the table. Imtim Salomar halo amar la, amar la mufar lech lamachar mahu. So let's say he actually says, mufar lech lamachar. In other words, so he says to her as follows, right? Love the neder. Today I'm going to be mekayim it, and now it's not an implied statement. He actually says it. He says, and I'm going to be mefer tomorrow. Me amrin lamach lamati mefer, da hakayim alinidre hayom. So on one hand, it's simply too late. In other words, you can only be mefer today, not tomorrow. Or dilma, kevin delo amr la, kiim lach hayom, ki kamar le mufa lach lamachar, me hayom kamar. Alternatively, if all he said is, I'm going to be mefer tomorrow, maybe it could be understood as follows. I'm going to be mefer now. In other words, again, this is how we're going to interpret the statement. I'm going to be mefer now. It just happens to be, I don't want it to kick in until tomorrow. And basically, it's like a tonight. Okay, right, and delayed effect, right? A number of occasions recently in the DAF and throughout Shas, we always talk about delayed effect. Meaning that we're going to do the Maisa now, and the Chalos is going to take place at a later point in time. So when you say, I want to be Mefer tomorrow, it could be interpreted as, I'm doing the Maisa now, and just in terms of when it's going to take effect, at a later point in time. That's possible. Third line down. Okay, so it could be that what he meant is mehayom, even though the effect occurs later. Im tim salam rafil ha'chi kevin dekai mehayom, lemachar kemandi isei dame. So the Gemara says, alternatively, here's what we could argue. We can argue that when you say that I'm going to be made for tomorrow, so what the argument would be is that it's just simply too late. Meaning that right now, you are basically sustaining the neder for the balance of today. When we get to tomorrow, it simply will be too late to be mefer. Meaning, even as you're delaying it to a time in which you can't be mefer it. Okay, so the Gemara says fine. So let's say like that. So, and again, by the way, I refer back to the run. We're putting everything out there on the table. Meaning right now, we don't have any certainty on any of these points, and we're throwing everything out there. So then, command yisei dami, so kim lechisha mahu. Ah, so the Gemara says, okay, fine. So how about this? How about he's mekayim the neder for 1 hour? Okay, so in other words, so right now he says to her the following, right? He hears a neder, and I sustain the neder, but for 1 hour. Now, why 1 hour? Because now, after an hour, you're still within the day, and you still have the opportunity to register a vote of hafara. So does that work? So mahu mi amrin and command amrla mufar lechila achra shardami odima halo amrla. Okay, so the Gemara says good. So when I say I sustain the neder for an hour, implicit am I also saying, yeah, but after that hour, forget about it. I'm not interested. In fact, I'm declining the neder. I'm rejecting the neder. And intim salama halo amrla miu amrla mai. So the Gemara says, okay. And if the implicit statement we're not sure about, what if it's not an implicit statement? What if he says it? So in other words, so coming out of his mouth is the following. For an hour, I'm being mekayim the neder. And then for hour number two, and obviously an onward, I'm going to be mefer the neder. So me, I'm going to come into kaimu kaimu, duma, came into kula yoma, barakama, barafaru, kiamar mufar lech lachasha, mehani. And so now the question becomes the following. If at one point he's mekayim the neder, even if it's for an hour, the neder now is mikuyam. The neder is sustained. No longer, even though we're in the window of the day, no longer eligible for hafara. That's one possibility. The other possibility is no. In other words, you have the whole day. So since you have the whole day, even though you voted kiyum for an hour, but if afterwards you say, and now I'm going to be mefer it, you still have the possibility to be mefer. So what did we just put out there? Lots of questions that we put out there. Right? In other words, the questions are ranging from, I'm going to be mekayim the neder for the balance of today. And then you didn't say anything. Implicit in that is that I can tolerate it for one day, but no longer. And I'm going to be made for tomorrow. Again, tomorrow is now, it's after your voting rights has expired by tomorrow. So number one, the first question we asked is that what if you didn't say it, but it was implicit? Then the Gemara said, okay, what if you actually said it? What if you said, I'm going to be mekayim the neder for an hour? What if, and implicit in that is for hour number two, I'm not going to be mekayim it. What if you say it, that I'm mekayim the neder for an hour, but for hour number two and onward, I'm going to be made for it? So everything's out there on the table. And right now the Gemara has concluded on none of this. Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, at least let's try. Let's try to bring proof for any one of these questions. Okay, so let's say you have the following husband-wife dynamic. She says, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while. I want to be a nazir. Okay. Okay. She was moved to naziris. Okay, can a woman be a nazir? And the answer is simply and unequivocally, yes, of course. Right, famously, right, I've heard this numerous times, when Rav Schachter gives a bechina for young men interested in joining the kolo, so he asks this question, can a woman be a nazir? So the hemming and hawing of these young and up-and-coming Talmidei Chachamim about whether she can't, it's a mitzvah, it's a losa, say, right, it's zman, it's not zman. Anyway, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Ish o isha.
Oh, there's no time limit for
nazir? No. Sure, there's a time limit. The Torah says
no time in the word.
Zero.
No, but in other words,
she's
the
a woman, so she should say.
No, I understand, but can a woman become a nazir?
I understand that part, but is there no time in the word?
Nazira.
So she should say, "I want to be a nazir."
Yeah, fair, but that's not, right. Anyway, the Harini Nazira Vishama Balavam Arvani. So she wants to be a Nazira. Yeah. So she wants to be a Nazira. Good. And not only does she want to be a Nazira, the husband says, you know what? I'm with you. Good. So it sounds like a beautiful marriage in which he's going to get now full support from the husband. And he says, Va'ani. Okay. So, Ein Yechol HaHafer. Okay. All that doesn't interest us. What interests us is the following. And that is, once he says the words Va'ani, Ein Yechol HaHafer. He can't be made for her neder. So in this dynamic where she starts off by saying she's committing herself to be a nazir. Now remember, what is nazir? Nazir is a neder. So now what can the husband do? Meaning before we get to the part where he says va'ani. So what the husband has every right to do is simply say, not interested. I'm not interested in you becoming a nazir. And he could be made for the neder. He could have done that. But what he elected to do is basically say, me too. So in the Me Too, Va'ani, so now what comes with that? Two things are coming with that. Number one, of course, is his own personal commitment to becoming a Nazir. What do we call that? Since the beginning of the Masechta, we call that Hadfasa. So Hadfasa is that when you latch onto a neder, so whatever neder you just latched, in other words, whatever neder exists, you're latching onto it, that's called Hadfasa. So number one, so you become a Nazir via Hadfasa. But number two, and the part that we're interested in, is by virtue of the fact that you said Me Too, what you also did is you were Mekayim her neder. Good. Good. Now the Gemara, that's all understood. Those are the basics. Now the Gemara wants to do is the Gemara wants to be Medayik. Ve'amai name of Ani Damar Hual, Navshe Davi Nazir Vaharin Nazir Adila, Shah Achas Kaim Alacha, Shah Yibai Lefer, Amai En Yacholafer. So the Gemara says like this. When he says the words Va'ani, can we understand Va'ani to mean the following? Look, at least for a moment, I have to sustain your neder. I have to. Why? Otherwise, there's no Hadfasa. Hadfasa only works if you are latching on to something that exists. So obviously, at least for a moment, a minute, an hour, it doesn't matter. At least for a moment, he has to be sustaining our neder. That's a given. But can't we make the following argument? Can't we say that, look, he was sustaining our neder at least for a moment in time so that he could latch on. But can we then say afterwards as follows? Good. Now I'm going to be a Nazir. Oh, and you also wanted to be one? No. I'm going to be made for your neder. In other words, we could argue all that. And by virtue of the fact that he can't be made for her neder, so let's now make the following argument. That once he sustains their neder, even if it's for just a moment, that temporary kiyum becomes a permanent kiyum. That's what the Gemara is trying to argue. So the Gemara says, La mishum dekev dekaimu kaimu. And isn't that exactly the point? That when he's mekayim or neder, albeit even if it's just for a moment, that's it. That serves now as a kiyum. So the Gemara says, Lo kasever kol v'ani de kemanda amar kiyum laichi la'olam dami. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you made a whole bunch of assumptions, and I disagree with your assumption. Meaning when he said the word va'ani, that wasn't a temporary kiyum. Va'ani, I'm totally endorsing your neder of being a nazira. It's not that I'm endorsing it for an hour. I'm giving you full endorsement. This is a blanket kiyum. And now, on top of that, I'm also going to become a nazir as well. That's how we can understand that. And if that's the correct understanding, then it has no bearing on our discussion whatsoever. Because what we want to know is, what if he's mekayim her neder for an hour? He says it. I'm only going to be mekayim her neder for an hour. So does that give him the ability after that hour to go ahead and to be made for it? That was the question on the table. Let's call it a Mishnah. I believe it's a Mishnah. This Mishnah is not going to be indicative whatsoever. Because this Mishnah over here is talking about a case in which he didn't give her a temporary kiyum, he gave her a permanent kiyum. Okay, good. Ad kan. Okay, that basically, we'll submit that as the first half of today's daf. A whole bunch of questions proposed by Rabbah in terms of after kiyum, can he go ahead and be mefer? Even if he's within the window of the day, can he be mefer post-kiyum? Gemara asks, Gemara does not answer. Gemara quotes the Mishnah, the Gemara says the Mishnah is not going to prove one way or another. The Ran at the conclusion of this discussion, remember, the Ran always wants to get us to the halacha, right? This is where he departs from Rashi. Rashi is the parish on the Gemara. Rashi just simply is interested in explaining the Gemara. Rashi, as far as halacha conclusion, rarely does Rashi ever tell us what the halacha is, because that's not his mission. His objective is just simply to say pshat in the Gemara. The Ran, on the other hand, takes on both roles. He takes on the role of explaining the Gemara, and on top of that, he also says the halacha. And if you look at the last line of the Ran before the Mishnah, the Ran says that the Gemara wasn't poshe, we're going to be machmir, and therefore, if you were mekayim the neder even for an hour, that's it. You had no longer have eligibility to be made for the neder. Adkan, we continue. Mishnah, mesa av lo nisrakim rishos abal, mesa abal nisrakim rishos av. Bezeh yafekoach av, mikoach abal. So it's a point that we already learned on Samaches, Samachtes, mostly Samaches, a little bit of Samachtes, but here's the Mishnah. Meaning this is the Mishnah that we were referring to earlier, and now we're learning the Mishnah together. Okay. You may not like the way I phrase it, but I think it's good. And that is that basically, look, we know that Nara Maras has a partnership, but let's call it a senior partner and a junior partner. Okay. Dad is a senior partner and the husband is a junior partner. Okay. Now, what does that mean? It means this as follows. Is that, let's say she's an Ara Marasa, and what happens? We lose the husband, he dies. So now what happens is that the father now is going to, all rights are going to be reverting back to the father. Father now is going to be the sole proprietor of her Nedarim. So that even though she was an Ara Marasa, and even though she made a Neder, and even though right now currently we have a partnership, and the only way the Neder could be Mufar is only through the voting of the two, if the husband dies, so then all of the rights revert back to the father. He's a senior partner. Now, by the way, senior over here, again, I don't know business, and you know, I don't know how these terms are actually meant legally. So that's why I'm not sure if it's right. But regardless, senior over here, not only does the father older, doesn't have to be, but usually that's the case. But the father being the senior partner because he was there first. Right. In other words, from birth until she got married. So in other words, there was only one exclusive address to her Nedarim, and that's dad. So in other words, so when she's an Ara Marasa, so introduced now into the Neder is a partner. Good. That's the husband. But in other words, if and when the husband dies, Rachmanis, but if the husband dies, so now all those rights revert back to the father. Good. Now, let's go the other direction. Let's say Nara Marasa and then dad dies. So now, do all the rights go to the husband? No. Now, I'm using the word husband over here, and that may be a little bit confusing, and I apologize. It's just, they're right, there's in English, there's no way to divide an arus and a nasui. Okay. So, but we're talking now about an arus, we're not talking about a nasui. Once you go through both stages of marriage, of arus and nasuin, so at that point in time, dad is totally out of the picture. So we're not talking about where she went through Nisuin. We're just talking about Arison. So at the point of Arison, she's an Ara Marasa and dad dies. So at that point, the rights do not go to the husband. Right. So you're asking the right question. The answer is going to be no. Okay. Just it happens to be that it's coming up. Is she stuck? No. In other words, what will happen to her neder is that her neder will. Well, yeah. If she wants to get out of the neder, she'll go to a chacham. Right. Correct. But in other words, right now in her current state, she can't be mefer. Okay. Good. And the Gemara points out that in this regard, so you have more koach to the father than you have to the husband. Okay. In other words, okay, right, because of this dynamic, because the father now is a senior partner, so you have nisrokna, so you can have rights reverting back to the father, but you do not have the rights of a fara reverting to the husband. Even as I say it, by the way, you hear it in the word reverting, meaning there is no reverting to the husband. The husband introduced himself into the partnership. So in other words, the husband was never in a position in which he had never had full rights exclusively. So in other words, even as I say, it makes sense. That's not going to revert to the husband because the husband never had exclusivity. Mashenkin, the father, did have exclusivity. Okay, good. Next part of the Mishnah, so b'davar achri yafar koach abal, mikoach av. Now you know that we can also go in the other direction as well. The husband's going to have additional rights than that of the father. Under what circumstances? Shabal mefer bebeger v'avina mefer bebeger. In which what the husband can do is the husband can be made for his wife's nedarim while she's a bogeris. Father can't, meaning when she finally develops into being a bogeris, remember the three stages of a woman. From birth until 12, she's a katana. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's an ara. From 12 and a half and onward, she's a bogeris. Father's rights will expire to be made for her nedarim when she becomes a bogeris. How do I know that? It's a pasuk in the Torah. In other words, the Torah says in describing the father's rights towards her, benureha beis avia, while she's a nara, so she's still beis avia, she's still under the jurisdiction of the father. Once she graduates from being a nara to being a bogeris, So she's no longer within the rights of the father. And so, but meanwhile, when she's married, so her husband can be made for an Nedarim even while she's a Bogeris. Okay. Good. So a comparison and a contrast between whose rights exceeds whose. Does the father exceed that of the husband? Does the husband exceed that of the father? So the Mishnah says, basically, depends. If we're talking about the halacha of Nisrokna, of reverting, father's rights are better. If we're talking about expiration, husband's rights are better. Because when it comes to a Bogeris, father is no longer has the ability to be made for Nedarim, but the husband after Bogeris can. Good. So that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here, a simple contrast between father and husband in this partnership. So my time. So the question number one of the Gemara of Nisrokna. So we know that Nisrokna goes and rights revert back to the father, but rights do not revert back to the husband. So the Gemara says my time. So I'm a krab benura beisavia. So it's a pasuk. So benura beisavia. So the that she is going to be, she's going to be under the father's jurisdiction and base aviha, right? You can see the run over here. Mashma afagav deleis alav akati isa base aviha, meaning even if there's no father, there's an institution of father. There's a base aviha, and from there the indication is that if the father, even if the father's no longer alive, but there's still some sort of edifice. There's still some structure of the Beis Avia, which means to say that the husband, and again, I say husband over here, I mean Arus, that the husband does not collect any of those rights. Okay, now, Mesa Ba'al Nisrok Nevishal Sa'af. Now the Gemara is going to go backwards. The Gemara is going to go, now what if the husband dies? So all rights revert back to the father. The Gemara says, now how do I know that? Minalan. What's the source of the Amar Rabba Damakra? Okay, so remember the structure of the psukim. We did this at the beginning of this perek. Let's quickly revisit. The parsha of Nedarim in the Torah could be broken up into three sections. Section number one is talking about where no marriage whatsoever. It's just a father. Father can be made for her Nedarim. Section number two, she got married. Section number three, she got married. Well, what's the difference between section two and section three? So as we already clarified in the beginning of the parak, in section two, she is a Nara and she only underwent Erusin, the first stage of marriage. That's section two. And section three is that she's fully married. And when she's fully married, so that's it. In other words, the husband has exclusive rights to be Mefer. So in section number two, Vim Hayosi Elish. Remember, we made this comment on day one of this parak. That was a short couple days ago. So the v'im hayosiyah, what's the havaya? Havaya is erusin. And the vav, v'im hayosiyah, meaning the husband and the father, meaning going back to section one, both now have rights and a partnership to be made for a nedarim. Okay, good. So far, so good. So what are we saying new today? We're saying v'im hayosiyah. How many marriages is that? Now, I understand that's not Pashupshah on the Psukim. Pashupshah on the Psukim is that she got married. Im Hayosiyah. That's how the Torah talks. However, in terms of Drashas, Im Hayosiyah, those are two marriages. What does that mean, two marriages? It means that she got married, Erisin, and then, for whatever reason, no longer married. Death or divorce, whichever way. And then she gets married again. Hayosiyah. So obviously, between husband number one and husband number two, there's a period, obviously, where she's not married. Exactly the point. Meaning that just like the father's rights existed before marriage number one, those same rights are going to exist between marriage number one and marriage number two. How do those same rights exist? Because after termination of marriage number one, what happens? All those rights revert back to the father. It took me a moment, by the way, to wrap my head around how the Gemara was getting there, but that's exactly the thought process of the Gemara. The Im Hayosiyah, that between marriages number one and two, so it's going to be just like the father's rights before marriage number one. Gemara says, so the Im Hayosiyah Leishin Dera Aleha, Mekish kod me'avai shnei l'kod me'avai rishona. Ma kod me'avai rishona af mefer l'chudei af kod me'avai shnei af mefer l'chudei. So just like before marriage number one, father had exclusive rights, so too before marriage number two, father's going to have exclusive rights. Which means, by definition, that after either death or divorce of husband number one, all those rights revert back to the father. Good. So that's a drasha. So the Gemara says, okay, that only is a description of nedarim that were made while there was no arus. But maybe if the neder was made with an arus, so that means like this. Okay, it's strange, but you have to describe such a scenario. She got married. Again, when I talk about marriage, I'm talking about Erison. So she underwent Erison. I'm going to use the Lashon HaKodesh. It's just going to be so much better in terms of describing what's happening. So she underwent Erison. And then Rachmanis, the husband, died. And right before the husband died, I say right before, meaning on that day, so she made an eder. And the husband heard about it. So what the Gemara is proposing is the following. Maybe under those circumstances now, we're approaching the end of the day. And obviously, it's an emotional day, but we're just talking now about the halacha. So, before the end of the day, so maybe under those circumstances, even though we're trying to argue that all those rights revert back to the father, but because the husband now heard the neder, maybe this neder won't revert back to the father. That is what the Gemara is proposing. So the Avah ben Nedarim Shenir Olaros Lamatzim Eferav. So the Gemara says Ibn Nedarim Shenir Olaros Bim Benura Beis Avia Nafka. So the Gemara says, no, meaning it can't possibly be that we're only talking about the nedarim that were not heard by the husband. It can't be. Why? Because if we're talking about a neder that the husband didn't hear, I knew that already. Meaning we already have new Rebbe Savia. New Rebbe Savia tells us that while she's a Nara and there's only dad, so then dad has the rights to be made for the nedarim. We have to be saying a bigger chiddush, meaning at this point in time we have a drasha. The drasha enables us to say a bigger chiddush. What's going to be the bigger chiddush? Very simple. Even a neder that was heard by the husband, and then Rachmanis, he died, and we're still within the day, so now all those rights revert back to the father. The father can be made for even such a neder. Good. Finishing up today's daf, Hechidami. Okay, the Gemara now wants to know that the husband can be made for while she's a bogeris, father cannot. So the Gemara says, Elam Shikashi Nara. So and Vibagra. So the Gemara says, is the Mishnah describing the following scenario, which is Kedushin occurred while she was a Nara, and then she becomes a Bogeris. So the Gemara says, Michti. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah can't be exploring such a case. Why? Because consider, says the Gemara, Misa Motzia and Bagras Motzia. Mirushasav. So we know that if dad dies, obviously she's no longer under the jurisdiction of the father. We know that if she becomes a bogeris, she's no longer under the jurisdiction of the father. So ma'amisa lo nisrakna v'shus l'ba'al. So av bagrus lo nisrakna v'shus l'ba'al. So the Gemara says, okay. So basically, we could take misa and bagrus and put them in the same category. And look, we already established that if she's an Ara Marasa and dad dies, what happens to his rights? They don't go to the husband. Okay? And by the way, to Phil's point that he asked earlier, and what about maybe they get inherited by the kids? They don't get inherited by the kids, right? The Ron quotes the Gemara Ksuvos. In other words, many things are going to be inherited by the children, but not Nedarim. Rights for the Nedarim end with the father. So in the case of Nara Marasa, where dad dies, so those rights don't go to the Arus. So if that's true by Misa, for sure, the same thing is going to be true regarding Bagrus, meaning Bagrus has the same effect. So while she's an Ara Marasa, and now she becomes a Bogeris, so those rights now don't go to the husband. So Ella, Kishikisha, he Kishi Bogeris. So the Gemara says, okay, so if that's true, so then we need an explanation, meaning what's the Mishnah describing? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Mishnah is describing. The Mishnah is describing where a condition occurred after she was a Bogeris. So the Hatanina Chadazimna, Bogeris, Shishasa, Shemasa Chodesh. So the Gemara says, now, a Bulgari Shashasa Shnemasar Chodesh. Now, this is referring to a Mishnah that we're going to be seeing just a couple days from now. And to understand the Mishnah, let's go over the following. Okay? Man is Ma'aris, a girl. She's a Bulgaris. Now, as a Bulgaris, what do we know? So we know already dad's out of the picture regarding the Darim. Meaning, by Bagris already, dad's rights have terminated. Good. So he's Mekadesher, Erisin. Can he be made for Nadarim? Not now. Meaning, the husband's rights to be made for his wife's Nadarim only start at Nisuin. Not at Erisin. Now, again, by the way, that may be a little bit confusing because we, since the beginning of this Perek, we said that Narim or us, there's a partnership, which is true. But in terms of the husband's exclusive rights to be made for his wife's Nadarim, that only begins at Nisuin. Oh. So he marries her while she's a Bulgaris. And now, in terms of him having the ability to be made for Nadarim, that's only going to begin at the second stage of marriage. Oh. When is that second stage of marriage? So the answer is very simple. That's Nisuin. Traditionally, when did that occur? A year after Erisin. Okay. That's not the case. That has not been the case for a while. Now, right. What we've done, Minhag Yisrael now for hundreds of years, could probably be thousands, is that the two, Erisin and Nisuin, get consolidated in one event, right? And at our chasnos, so we consolidate the two, and we put the two together. Meaning we do both, but in other words, but it's at the same event. It's at the chasna. But back in the good old days, so Erisin occurred, and then a year was waited, and then Nisuin. Now, so the Gemara says, Ela kishikitsha kishihi, kishi bogeris, hatanina chadazimna. So the Gemara says, great. So you're telling me that here's what our Mishnah is teaching us. Our Mishnah is teaching us is that when a Bulgaris gets married, in other words, he's Mekadosher as a Bulgaris, and then a year later, meaning when he has the requirement now to move on to Nisuin, so then he could be made for Nadarim. Gemara says, that's what our Mishnah is teaching us. That's the Mishnah coming up on Ayin Gimel. Meaning, so 3 days from now, we're going to be seeing the Mishnah inside. Bulgaris, Shashasa, Shemasa, Chodesh. That when you have a Bulgaris who after Erisin 12 months later, so now the husband can be made for Nadarim. So, Hagufakashi Amart, Bulgaris, Shashasa, Shemasa, Chodesh. So, Bulgaris, Lamali, Shemasa, Chodesh, Bulgaris, Bashoshim, Yom, Sagila. So the Gemara says, okay, now in a moment, meaning right now, what bothers us is the redundancy of Mishnayos. We have a Mishnah over here on Daf Ayin. We have a Mishnah coming up on Ayin Gimel. They're basically saying the same point. Okay, good. So we're trying to understand the redundancy. Before we explain the answer, we answer the question of redundancy, the Gemara is just going to get caught a little bit up in a technical issue, which is, run that by me again. A Bulgaris waits how long before she gets married? Meaning, So Haguf Akashi Amar Bulgaris Shashasa Shemasa Chodesh Bulgaris Lamali Shemasa Chodesh Bulgaris Bashoshim Yom Sagila. Isn't the Bulgaris getting married a month later? So the Gemara says Tani Bulgaris and Shasa Shemasa Chodesh. Okay, so the Gemara says okay. So we'll clear up the air. You're right. A Bulgaris. So when she undergoes Erisin, she only waits a month. You're right about that. And then on top of that, you also have a case where a Nara who waits 12 months. Okay, fine. So good. So that was just a little bit of cleanup. But meanwhile, Mikamakam Kasha. Okay, but still, redundancy. So you're telling me that when a Bulgaris, gets married, so the husband can be made for her Nadarim again after a year's time. Again, we say year, just to clarify. We mean if Erisin was when she's a Nara. But if Erisin occurred while she was a Bulgaris, so then only a month, good. We cleared that up. But meanwhile, redundancy. What we're learning in our Mishnah is basically the same thing we're learning in Ayin Gimel. So, Ibai say, Mahachadavka, Vibulgaris diktani hasam, Mishum debai, Lifluge, Rebelazav, Rabbana. So the Gemara says, look, in other words, our Mishnah really is a principal Mishnah in which we're learning the halacha. The Mishnah in Ayin Gimel, there's a machlokis between the Chacham and Rebelazar. And when we get to the Mishnah, we'll go through the machlokis together. Okay, in other words, there is something to debate over there. Okay. Alternatively, the Gemara says, is that Bulgaris Dafka? Meaning, no. The Mishnah later on, is the principal Mishnah. And I did an Asav Reisha Bezen, Asav Seif, and Ami Bezen. And look, what was our Mishnah interested in? Doing contrast. Meaning, our Mishnah is really interested in Nisrokna. The idea of rights reverting. Rights revert back to the father. Rights do not revert back to the husband. You know what? As long as we talked about how the father exceeds that of the husband, okay, good. So I'll tell you how the husband exceeds that of the father. But that's not the principal point of our Mishnah. The principal point of our Mishnah is really point number one. And then while we're here, we'll just contrast. But then as far as a bogeris and the husband having the rights to be made for the his wife's nidarim, that's Ayin Gimel. Okay, good. Let's quickly recap. Let's review our day. Okay, number one, questions of Rabba. Rabba wants to know, once you're mekayim the neder temporarily, will you have an opportunity afterwards to be made for the neder? What if I wait till tomorrow? What if I just do it for 1 hour? Anyway, many questions that were posed by Rabba in the Amud Aleph of today, none of them are answered. We thought that the case of the Nazir, where he says va'ani, maybe that's an example of temporary kiyum. The Gemara simply rejects and says, no, it's not. Va'ani a gushpanka, a total endorsement of her neder, a kiyum gamur, and so therefore it doesn't get at all involved in any of the questions of Rabba. Rabba's questions remain unanswered. Number one. Number two, Nisrokna. The idea of, even though Nara Marasa has a partnership, if one of those partner dies, what happens? Depends who dies. If the husband dies, all those rights revert back to the father. And as we conclude in today's daf, even the nedarim that the husband heard. In other words, still, the father will reinstate himself as the exclusive address of the hafara. That is point number one of the Mishnah. On the other hand, and within point number one, on the other hand, if we go in the other direction, where the father died, so we don't say nisrokna. The husband now does not claim all those rights to himself. And again, the explanation is really simple. Meaning, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, but the explanation is very simple. The father started off as having exclusive rights. So you could talk about reverting. The husband never had that, as an aris. Good. And then the Mishnah went on to describe that, you know, even though the father on this issue exceeds the rights of the husband, but husband exceeds the rights of the father's how? By bagris. Because there is no statute of limitation in terms of age regarding a husband's ability to be made for nedarim, right? His wife could be 13, 23, doesn't matter, whatever the age is. The husband always has the right to be made for nedarim of his wife, but as far as the father's concerned, that's it. By Nara already, Nara will be the last age in which the father could be made for nedarim. After Nara, 12 and a half and onward, a father can't be made for nedarim. Good. And then in the Amud Beis of today's daf, so we have drushas supporting every one of the points of the Mishnah. And then the last discussion of the Gemara is which is the main Mishnah, because this Mishnah Bogeris is repeated twice today's daf and on daf Ayin Gimel. Which is the Iker? Which is the Tafel? And the Gemara basically said I could say it in either way. Adkan. Okay.